Hi, I'm Dr. Elizabeth Sanders, a foot and ankle surgeon and assistant professor at Boston University Medical Center.
Hi, I'm Katrina Sanders. I'm a registered dental hygienist, consultant, international speaker, and wine lover.
And we're sisters. I grew up looking up to my big sister, Katrina.
And now I look up to my lady boss, physician sister, Elizabeth.
Together, we are working to unite the dental and medical communities in unique and exciting ways.
Welcome to Floss and Flip Flops with the Sanders Sisters, our monthly podcast,
where we unpack all things health related from your mouth to your toes.
So grab your flossy flops
and slide on some flippy floppies
and let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Floss and Flip Flops with your favorite ginger sisters, Katrina, and my fabulous sister, Elizabeth. How are you today, Elizabeth?
Oh, I am so great, Katrina, because I think this might be our first podcast in the same city, the same location.
In the same city, yeah. In the same time zone. And by the way, we are coming to you live in living color from the other side of the world, literally. Right? We're from the other side of the world.
We are.
So greetings from gorgeous Kigali, Rwanda, on the continent of Africa. We've been here for a few days now, hosted by the amazing Dr. Thomas Lee, and we couldn't be more thrilled to talk to you today about July's month, which is Humanitarian Month. We all know on Floss and Flip Flops that we're here really building strength and support around the efforts that we as professionals, not just dental professionals, but healthcare professionals, can do to support our communities. And humanitarian efforts are a critical aspect of that. So I couldn't be more thrilled that July is a month celebrating humanitarian efforts, because we've been here in Rwanda and it has been an educational experience. As much as we have come here to be educators,
Have you not received an education yourself? We have learned so much, not only about the culture, about the healthcare, but about so many things.
Yes.
I think a lot about compassion as well.
There's compassion, there's empathy, there's drive, there's gumption. And I can think of no better way to describe our guest on today's podcast, the amazing Dr. Thomas Lee, who I met very recently. Dr. Lee, we met on a Zoom call, and we just started talking back and forth, and we built this amazing friendship and connection, and we finally got to meet live a few days ago. So a little bit of background. Dr. Lee is actually American trained. He's from Southern California, received his training at University of California in San Francisco. And he decided to retire early in 2019. I don't want to give the rest of your bio away, Dr. Lee, because I need you to talk to me about the rest of your bio. So this, I think, starts the early process for us in really learning about you. So we're in 2019. Tell us what brought you to Rwanda.
Yeah, you know, about 9 years ago, we were celebrating our 20th anniversary. And we had planned a trip to Africa. And around that time, a gentleman came from Rwanda to share about his experience of how he survived through the genocide and how his faith in God helped him. And, you know, as we were listening to his testimony, God spoke into our hearts to serve the people of Rwanda on a dental mission. And around that time also, I was reading a book called Halftime. And in short, the whole book was about, if the first half of our life is for a quest for success, the second half is a quest for significance. And so we came on that, our first mission trip to Rwanda, and we were at a remote village about 4 hours outside of the capital city of Kigali. And a young mom came for us for help, and she was in a very, very bad situation with a dental infection, unable to eat for a few days, fever and chills. And I was able to treat her and eliminate the dental infection. And at that moment, I knew that I had saved her life. And those same hands that I was using to pursue success and financial gain was used to save a young mom's life and prevent a young child from becoming an orphan. And that was the beginning of our quest for significance, and we never turned back.
For those of you listening who are unfamiliar with the genocide, it occurred, it was a very long span, but there was an insurgence of killings in a civil war here in Rwanda in 1994 that resulted in over a million deaths here of the citizens of Rwanda. And from that, although there was mass tragedy, there was also beauty in how the country has been able to rebuild. And it's through people like you, Dr. Lee, that this country has been able to rebuild. Although perhaps many of you listening maybe have never been able to visit Africa like we now have been able to, my hope is that through today's podcast, you can hear through our ears or join us on social media and see through our eyes as you understand what it means to be sitting across from such an incredible soul as Dr. Thomas Lee. So, Dr. Lee, you're here in Rwanda, you're in Kigali. You and your wife made the active choice to move from Southern California, high-end practice, where you're seeing patients, you're probably loading veneers all the time, right? And you decide that you're just going to pack up your life and you're going to move to Kigali, Rwanda.
Yes.
And you actually chose to do that, by the way, during the pandemic, right?
Yes.
Not the best time to choose to do that, but it is what it is. You move here to Rwanda and you start serving the dental needs of the community here in Rwanda. So walk us through some of the major differences between what we see in the provision of dental care in the United States or a developed country, a lot of our listeners are in Canada, versus what we start to see about the provision of care here in Rwanda.
Yeah. So I think that there's many challenges here, of course, because, and one of the biggest challenges is lack of resources.
Okay.
And first is human resources. I mean, for example, if I wanted to start a dental practice or, you know, then I would just go and look for experienced dental hygienist, dental assistant, put a super team together, and within a few months, we're ready to rock and roll, right? But here, the doctors that I'm dealing with, they're just out of dental school. There are no dental assistants. There are no receptionists. There are no dental hygienists. So I have to basically train them from like ground zero.
When you mean they're fresh out of dental school, can you walk through what that dental school, because prior to dental school, we had dental therapists here in Rwanda.
Yes.
What was that like?
The dental therapists were, they went to school right out of high school. And I don't think they even learned the basic sciences, and they just kind of learned how to do things. So, that was just a stopgap measure to meet the needs of the population in a simple and easy way.
What do dental therapists do?
They are able to do fillings, simple extractions, cleanings, examinations, and preventive care.
Okay.
But I think by and large, because of the way the situation is, their basic mode of treatment is extraction.
Mm.
And so recently, I think the first grad, with the partnership with Harvard University, they actually started a dental school about 7 years ago. And now they have the third graduating class graduated this year. And so the doctors that I'm training, they are, 1 or 2 years out of school. And as you all know, it's a steep learning curve to be a professional. What we're doing as a dentist, I would say it will take 10 years to get to a level where you're actually proficient at what you're doing. And that's just one part of the puzzle. And then you need assistants and other supporting staff, dental laboratories. And those are all lacking, and we have to basically build from ground zero. So that's one challenge. Second challenge is resources. I mean, availability of dental materials and supplies. I mean, if I wasn't able to carry a lot of the supply materials from the U.S. in, you know, asking people to bring them in their suitcases, we would not be able to do what we're doing here today. So, and then the supply chain is very weak, where one day they have it and they're out of stock, and then I ask them, when's the next, you know, stock coming? And they're like, maybe in 3 months, maybe in 6 months.
Wow.
So it's a challenge. And then, of course, working in a new country, new language, new culture, new healthcare system, expectations, they're all challenges that, you know, we have to deal with.
You know, it's amazing. So we did, we worked in a, I'm going to call it a clinic. It was a makeshift clinic.
Yes.
It was a classroom that had been cleared out. The blackboard still had writing of the lessons they had the day before. And your team brought in mobile dental chairs and equipment. And we provided to the students their dental sealants, prophy polish, fluoride treatment, and then extractions in extreme decay situations. Mm-hmm. And what I want our listeners to know is that, Dr. Lee, you had interns with you, you had people with you who had just gotten their, what is that, a BDS degree?
BDS, Bachelor in Dental Surgery.
So they go straight from high school into their dental school training.
Yes.
So how do they, they're in high school, how do you get into dental school from there?
Yeah, so, you know how we have the idea of majors in our undergraduate, you know, studies?
Sure.
Actually, they start dividing up majors in their high school. So one, you know, they start to can lean toward, let's say, business and finance, or engineering, some of the technical, you know, majors, and healthcare science. So they start actually specializing in their high school studies in preparation for these undergrad programs.
So they're prepared in high school. They're already taking basic sciences and things like that. So then they get into their bachelor's degree and they're doing hands-on training.
Yes. So I think the first 2 years they do the same science courses as the medical students.
You did mention that they were in the same classes with medical students in many situations.
For basic sciences.
Which is kind of amazing. So you had many students that were there or people who had just received their BDS degree.
Yes.
And I just want to acknowledge for our listeners that on our lunch break, Dr. Park sat in the chair. Dr. Park has two crowns. And your students wanted to see what a crown looked like. Can you walk us through why that was so important for your students to see what a crown looked like?
Yeah, you know, the training they receive here are still very limited. I asked one of the recent graduates how many crowns they were able to do before they graduate, and the answer was zero. And so a lot of the learning is theory. A lot of learning is on books, videos, and what's lacking when they graduate are really truly hands-on training. And that's where we come in. We're in the process of creating a residency program so that they can get, you know, full-time supervision by, you know, highly trained doctors from the U.S. or other developed countries to come and just day in and day out, just, you know, go through the clinical challenges of that day or that week, and just give them that hands-on training they really need to excel in what they do.
Thank you so much for sharing all of
Thank
that.
You.
It sounds like you there are a lot of challenges that you endured
mm-hmm.
just coming here and starting your project. So what are some of the greatest rewards you've had in coming here?
Yeah, you know, when there are these, I think we find joy in the difficult situations. And, you know, one of the joys is that, you know, we're in the village, our clinic is in the villages, and, you know, they come with fractured teeth or just these things that are just traumatic injuries. And in their world, there are no solutions. I mean, if a child comes with a fractured front two teeth or something, and that's, they go through life like that. And so for us to be there for them, within 30 minutes or an hour, just restore their smile. I mean, I've got kids that are just literally jumping out of their chair because it just, you know, I mean, their personality, their self-confidence, their ability to intermingle with their friends, all that is restored. And so that's a very rewarding, kind of experience that we've had many times. Even just a few weeks ago, a young boy came with two fractures in two places on his lower jaw. And so we had to refer him to a larger hospital for surgery. And a few days later, they came back with no treatment. So I asked, we asked them what happened, and they didn't have the money for treatment. They didn't have $200 to treat a fractured jaw.
$200 to preserve the mandible.
Yeah.
How old was the child?
Maybe eight, 9 years old. So now it heals in a broken state. Now this boy is disfigured for life. With, the occlusion all off and just what have you. And so we had our meeting in our staff meeting, and we just told him, go call that mom and we send him right back to the hospital because his Hands on Africa will take care of the bill so that we can, heal, take care of the child. So he actually had surgery this week. And so being a source of hope to the hopeless, being an answer to someone's prayer, that's just a reward that just brings just tears and joys in what we do on a day-to-day basis. Another rewarding experience is working with our young doctors and sharing my experience with them, both clinically and spiritually, and just seeing them like grow right in front of my eyes, knowing that I'm making a difference. And I think it means more than just doing feeling, because when we invest in people and when we see these people, these young doctors grow, I know that they will have the same compassion and the same clinical skills in the years to come so that they can continue to care for their own people for many, many years, even after I'm old and I'm out of gas and I need to go back home to the U.S., they'll continue to, fulfill the mission and the cause of His Hands on Africa.
Ugh. Yeah. I absolutely love that. Isn't that amazing?
That is so amazing and so heartwarming.
It's inspiring. Yeah. And I think the important piece to all of this is, and I want to just rewind for a short moment. Dr. Lee, how many oral surgeons are there in the country of Rwanda to date?
There are two oral surgeons in the country of 13 million people.
13 million people. And there are two oral surgeons. So when we're referring to an oral surgeon, in this case, they're performing traumatic surgeries, yes, and things like that. It's incredible to see how you have adapted to those things. And it's incredibly inspiring because the reality is your two hands can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And yet your ability to train others,
yes,
continues to emulate all of those pieces, which is just so incredibly inspiring. You know, Elizabeth and I were at the medical school earlier this week, and we lectured for medical doctors. Mm-hmm. Medical doctors in Rwanda have a very similar training to BDS,
yes,
dentists. So they go to high school, and then they're told you're very gifted in sciences, and so you should become a medical doctor, and they get a bachelor's degree in being a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. So the people that we were lecturing to were what? Under 22 years old,
mm-hmm, and they were surgical residents.
And they were surgical residents, mm-hmm, and it's interesting. We had to take a pause because their first question was, "That's fine and dandy in a developed country, but how can we help and serve?" And so the reality becomes, the first step in this process is seeing the overt disease, seeing the infection, seeing the decay rates, which we saw. Mm-hmm. The clinic that we were in, we delivered dental sealants and fluoride treatments, and we talked about the opportunity for silver diamine fluoride. Extractions needed to happen for gross decay sites, but the perio is rampant.
Yes.
And we know that that leads to oral systemic disease. And these are newer concepts to a country like Rwanda that is experiencing modern diseases like diabetes, mm-hmm. Arthritis. And so it's important for you to be here and to be serving and educating the people who will continue that legacy of the work that you're doing. So with all of the work that you're doing, you are able to bill some of the work that you do through, is it the state, the government?
National Healthcare Insurance System.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's pretend that my number 19 is just completely blown out and I need to have a root canal done on number 19.
Yes.
How much could you bill for a root canal on number 19?
We get paid about $4.50.
$4.50 US.
US.
Got it.
Yes.
So what would be a fabulous production day for you if you were just like, yeah, I'm rocking. You come home, you high five your wife, you're like, babe, we did it. What would be a good production day for
if
you?
If I had $100 US, it's time to party.
Woohoo! Time to party here in Rwanda. Which gives you a lot of perspective on how important the work is that you're doing, because it's not about money for you.
It's not. And you know what? Let me tell you, before His Hands on Africa actually went in and start to implement our, you know, the way we manage a clinic and what have you, that department was generating about $800 US per month. And I think per month. And this year, actually June, end of June, I saw the report. We hit 5,000.
Per month.
Per month. So within, within less than a year, we've increased maybe sixfold.
Which is important for the students that are working under you to see the sustainability, because the hope is that other students will be able to work under you and then go into their communities, right? And be able to maybe set up their own clinic.
Yes. I mean, we know we're just talking dollars, and but at the end of the day, that just means that we helped a lot of people.
That's right. That's right.
A lot more people than before. It's a really feel-good story to what we're doing.
I love it.
Yeah.
So tell us about His Hands on Africa. We've alluded to it.
Yes.
So you come over here with your beautiful wife, and you're here in Rwanda. What year is it now? When you officially move here?
That was 2020.
Yeah, perfect year to be here.
Yeah.
So you're here in 2020, and what has His Hands on Africa done? Where are we going? What is His Hands on Africa?
Thank you. And so originally it was just me and my wife, just happy to come and serve and help people. But then, you know, our it just kept evolving. It's getting bigger and bigger, you know, building a dental center, a training center, laboratory, you know, building community clinics all over the country. It just got way too big for my wife and I. And so
Your wife, what is she, a trained dentist?
She is not. She was a stay-at-home mom, a fabulous cook, and a wonderful wife. And she's my best friend and partner in everything that we do together. And so she's been with me every step and can't even imagine being here, of course, without her. And so we started together, and then we just realized that this is way, way too big for us two. And so we created His Hands on Africa, I believe, about 6 years ago. Started to fundraise to share our dream and vision with our friends and families, and just start to grow. And it's growing and growing by leaps and bounds. And great things are happening.
That's incredible.
Yeah, His Hands on Africa is a faith-based nonprofit organization, and our mission is to empower Christian dental professionals to create sustainable transformation through gospel impact and excellent care. And so our foundation is to really create sustainability and self-reliance for the people and the doctors here in Rwanda. And yes, I think it's important to care for people with providing dental treatment, but at the end of the day, we want to make a long-lasting impact that's going to lead to transformation of a community, a county, and eventually the entire nation. So that's our goal. And our goal is to build a dental center in Kigali. the capital city of Rwanda, which will include a private clinic, a teaching clinic, training center, and a dental lab. So everything that we would need to generate capital to and develop trained dental team to send out into the community for to serve the community.
So we've had the pleasure of meeting your wife, mm-hmm. and she is smart, and she's funny, and she's super cool.
Yes.
She's an amazing cook, by the way.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
We appreciate her. And so I want to take a moment to honor her, because yes. when somebody chooses to just like uproot their life and move from the comforts of Southern California to what we've heard today to be a relatively uncomfortable situation yeah. where you have to be a mover and a shaker. Mm-hmm. You need beautiful support around you.
Yes.
And your wife has done that just beautifully, which is just absolutely incredible. So I want to honor her and the support that you've had in doing that. We all need to have that around us as providers and being able to continue to serve.
Yes. And, you know, piggyback on that, when I share my story with people, I would say... majority of the question is your wife going with you? Or what does your wife think about that? Mm-hmm. You know, and so needless to say, that's on people's mind, you know, how much support that I get. And you know, I couldn't do what I do without her, 100%. And so the support that I receive and the encouragement, you know, sometimes I have some really tough times. A bad day at the office, and the encouragement that I receive, and you know, sometimes you know, my heart breaks, you know, pulling her away from our children and our family to a faraway place like this, you know, when we celebrate in quote Mother's Day, and our children are just thousands of miles away, you know, my heart breaks for her, but you know, she's a trooper, and you know, her heart is just. One united for the cause, and you know, we just you know, keep plugging along, you know.
There's so many sacrifices that Absolutely. You've made, and yet I want to ask you, we pulled up to the Vineyard School to perform our mission work, mm-hmm. and I just want to color the picture for our listeners.
Yeah.
All the students were lined up in their uniforms, mm-hmm. and you've probably seen this several times now. And the school headmaster was there, and the yeah. faculty were there.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? That you're just standing there in front of these children, and they all know you, by the way. Yeah. Our listeners at home, they all know who he is. How does that make you feel?
You know, to hear the singing that they greeted us with fills my heart with joy, fills my heart with yes, you know, we're making a difference. And, you know, I've seen these kids for almost 5 years now. So some of these kids, I've seen them when they were like 4. And now, you know, they're almost as tall as me. And, you know, and these children were in a neighborhood where there were no schools. There were no hope. And then, as you know, Tanya and Scott, our friends, built a school there. And we're just kind of supporting what they're doing. And just knowing that, you know, I tell you, when I go to work, I don't get paid. I make no money, but I have to sometimes slap myself because it's so good. And I've never been so happy in my life. And before I came here, I mean, it was all about pursuing success and financial gain, and I get nothing of that, but I've never been happier. Because why is that? Because God's using me to bless others. God's using me to bring hope and, you know, healing to others. And that is just an amazing place to be. And I wouldn't trade it for a million years. It really is.
That is so inspiring to hear. And so, Katrina, we've been here, what, 4 days now?
Yeah.
And you, thankfully, thank you so much. You've taken us pretty much all around the country. You've invited us into your home to meet your lovely wife.
We're literally recording this from Dr. Lee's home, by the way. We have wine. Our bellies are full with Dr. Lee's wife's amazing meals.
You've introduced us to many people throughout the entire country, to people in your foundation. We've seen your clinic. You took us to a clinic at the Vineyard School. And I remember you telling us that, you know, we could come here and we could clean teeth and put on sealants all day, but the best thing that we could do is to pay it forward and to teach your upcoming students. And I think that's a very interesting way to try to create sustainability.
Yes.
And I think your foundation, just being here for 4 days, we've seen only a fraction of what your foundation has done. Mm. And I think we're very humbled just to be here and to experience that only in 4 days once again. So tell us, Dr. Lee, what are the greatest needs to serve your foundation? And what are things that people can do to get involved with your foundation and help out?
Yeah, you know, there's a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise an organization and run an organization. And I know, you know, you guys do run an organization too in many ways. And, you know, with Hands on Africa, with our vision, such a big vision and mission, you know, there's need for so many things, you know, marketing, social media, graphic design, video editing, funding to build dental clinics, manpower and resources to create a residency program that provides a rich learning, you know, environment, and of course, a lot of prayer. I still don't know how an ordinary couple like me and my wife, you know, just happily living in the American dream in a suburb of Southern California, how he called us to such a huge task. And I know that God has a huge plan for His Hands on Africa. And, you know, we all want to welcome your listeners out there who wants to do something greater than them, something significant that's going to make a difference or impact someone's life 1,000 miles around the other side of the world. You know what? Every little bit, whatever that may be, counts. And, you know, I invite all of your listeners to, as God moves your heart, to join in on the fun and let's just do great things together.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Thomas Lee, for joining us and for hosting us, by the way, for opening up your home, for opening up your world to us. It's been an incredible adventure, and I'm going to speak on behalf of my sister and my family that we will be back sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And my hope is those of you listening want to join us in that. So please check the show notes for the information on His Hands on Africa, the website, the Facebook, the Instagram, so you can learn more about what Dr. Lee is doing to serve the community. Follow me on social media because you're going to find several opportunities to be able to contribute back. That's what this all is about. That when you choose a vocation of serving others, it doesn't stop when the insurance stops billing things. It's about doing more. Yeah. And I think there's a very interesting profile to somebody who chooses to serve others. It's not about the money you get. It's about the beautiful legacy that you leave behind. Yes. And if there's nothing else that I've learned from being here in gorgeous Rwanda over the past few days, it's about legacy. And it's about the hope that the future is something beautiful and brighter than what we see today. So thank you for being such a glimmering hope of that for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you all of you for joining us as we brush up on fabulous oral systemic content with your friends, the Ginger Sisters, Dr. Elizabeth Sanders and Katrina Sanders. Join us next month as we talk to you about another scintillating topic on oral systemic disease.
We promise to keep you on your toes.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for another monthly episode of Floss and Flip Flops with the Sanders Sisters.
Thank you for being part of the change we need to see in the medical and dental professions.
Join us next month for another sister-to-sister chat about other unique, interesting, and perhaps provocative and disruptive health topics.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. And maybe even leave a fabulous review.
And we'll catch you next month for another episode of
Floss and Flip Flops
with the Sanders Sisters.
I love you, Kinka.
I love you, Izzy.